Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. France's legal ban on face coverings went into effect last month. Women who wear a burqa or niqab, garments that fully cover all but the eyes, could face fines on French streets. This is a very divisive issue, and it's never clear where people will come down on it. Meanwhile, in other parts of the world, Saudi Arabia and Iran, and more recently in Russia, women are forced to cover up, sometimes against their will. Today, we'll talk about the human rights implications of both bans on hijab and forced veiling. My first guest is Veronica Sente-Goldston. She's the European Advocacy Director at Human Rights Watch. So when it comes to France's law and proposals for similar laws in other European countries, when it comes to Germany's bans in certain states, why is Human Rights Watch taking this on? Why is this so important?
Not only are we concerned about the negative impacts that the laws themselves have, the ways in which they restrict women's choices, but also the negative impact more generally that these laws will trigger by way of creating an atmosphere where people will feel that it is right to interfere in their co-citizens' lives. Women, mothers, in their interactions with their children's teachers, other parents at drop-offs and pickups at school, when they need to seek medical help or assistance, when they just need to go about their lives. And Human Rights Watch is not taking issue with certain restrictions on full face covering, where those kinds of restrictions can be justified. For instance, when security checks at airports, or somebody picking up children at school, there may be instances where addressing such legitimate concerns should not be done through blanket bans.
It can be done by having a woman having a private space where the identity could be checked, where a woman could raise or lift her niqab and have another woman verify
Absolutely.
Her identity.
Absolutely.
So what I find interesting about this is that Human Rights Watch takes a stand against these bans on hijab, on covering, but also has taken a very strong stand against women being forced to wear head coverings. And we're joined by Tanya Lukshina. She's the Russia researcher for Human Rights Watch. And Tanya, you've recently done research in Chechnya, in southern Russia. So tell us about that, about what's going on there with compulsory wearing of headscarves.
Well, I would start off by saying that Chechnya is this really unique region in Russia, which exists completely outside of Russia's legal framework. It's a very lawless place where the head of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov, does pretty much whatever he wants, and the Kremlin, the federal center, never even tries to rein him in. And one of Kadyrov's pet projects is to make sure that all women in Chechnya wear headscarves. And he's been very proactive about it for the past several years.
So it wasn't put into law, and it hasn't been put into law in Chechnya, is that right?
Well, whatever's happening in Chechnya that we are criticizing is usually not put into law. It's never written on paper. It's just that Mr. Kadyrov simply goes on Chechen television and says, I want all women who work in the public sector to wear headscarves, all of them without exception, as of tomorrow. It's a great shame that we still have women walking around the state offices with their hair uncovered. And what happens the next day, and I was there in Chechnya at the time, so I remember it quite vividly, you switch your television on early in the morning, and suddenly all of those female anchors, young and pretty girls that really wore new headscarves yesterday, all of them have their hair covered. And this, you see the same thing in schools and in hospitals, in every state office. And basically women who were trying to resist that sudden headscarf requirement, they were simply not allowed into the buildings.
So and they were also subject to attacks, correct?
Later, yes, precisely, because that headscarf policy was being reinforced over several years. And then the campaign reached its very dramatic and very barbaric crescendo when women who were refusing to wear headscarves were pelleted from paintball guns shot at with paint in the streets of central Grozny, the Chechnya's capital. And among the perpetrators, as far as we know, there definitely were members of law enforcement and security agencies under Mr. Kadyrov's de facto control. And a couple of weeks later, when asked about those horrid incidents by a television journalist, Kadyrov said that if you could only identify the people who did it, the people who were shooting at women with paint, he would actually give them an award, because the women in question fully deserved it. And naturally, considering his status in Chechnya and his level of power, which is next to absolute, a comment like this is definitely a very vocal encouragement of these barbaric practices.
I'm really struck by this because, in a way, I mean, there are a few things you're talking about. First of all, the women's rights issue, which I think many Europeans who are looking to enact these bans on hijab, on head coverings or face coverings, would argue, well, this is a women's rights issue. And maybe they would even say, hey, look what's going on in southern Russia. Couldn't this happen anywhere? And look, we have all these Muslim immigrants and, you know. How do you respond to that, Veronica, when you hear, I imagine you hear that argument often?
But by banning them from wearing the headscarf, they are not actually helping these women, those women who are wearing a headscarf out of being forced to do so. Because what they risk doing instead is to confining these women to their home, so they will ultimately not even be able to go out, and that will only just further limit their independence and the limited freedom that they enjoy.
I know Human Rights Watch did research on how this did affect women in Germany, so say a little bit about that.
Our research revealed that these bans really have had a tremendous, very concrete impact on women's lives, including by really forcing them to choose between their religious convictions and practices and their professional choices and aspirations. Some women were not able to pursue their careers as teachers. Some of these women, it was quite telling, one of the women said to us, as long as we clean the schools, nobody cares if we wear a headscarf. But as soon as we, you know, if we are teachers, then that suddenly matters. And why? What is the difference? And it really shows that these restrictions are discriminatory, and they are in many cases really grounded in nothing more than prejudice.
And on the other side, in a place like Chechnya, girls who want to go to school, who want to go to university, they are really denied this opportunity unless they are ready to put on a headscarf. So it's this situation where, in fact, from what we know from the multiple interviews that we did in Chechnya on the issue, many of the women who are now, say, in their like 40s and 50s, and who actually are used to wearing a headscarf, and it was their personal choice, and they wanted to do this. But now, when there is this compulsory enforcement of Islamic dress code, they're absolutely appalled. And I would just emphasize that quite a lot of people, including some of our very genuine supporters, make this mistake of thinking that Human Rights Watch is for headscarves or against headscarves. Say, when I do my work in Russia now, when that report on headscarves in Chechnya came out, I am faced with criticism time and again along the lines of Human Rights Watch does not want Chechen women to wear headscarves, therefore Human Rights Watch in Russia is against Muslims. And this is just so far from truth, because we are not for, we are not against, we are rather trying to uphold the freedom of women to make their own choices as far as religious dress is concerned.
So a way to put women in their place in Chechnya and display this identity, a Muslim identity. What we see in Western Europe is forcing women not to wear headscarves or other coverings is a way of maintaining European identity, of saying there's one way to be a European woman.
Exactly. And this is what is so sad and ironic, that in addressing what at least at the rhetorical level is a concern about oppression of women, and sort of an oppressive symbol that supposedly does not belong in advanced European societies, is being addressed in a way that also is an outrageous interference in women's lives and making decisions on behalf of women about how they should dress, what they should look like when they go out on the streets. It is truly ironic that in supposedly seeking to liberate women from oppression, governments in Europe think that it's okay for the state to take on this role of telling women how they should dress and how they should not dress.
Yeah, and I guess in aspiring to uphold that European identity, they're essentially stripping women of their Muslim identity, and vice versa. In Chechnya, now when the government is introducing Islam as a must, women are being forcibly stripped of their secular identity.
That was Tanya Lokshina of Human Rights Watch. I also spoke with Veronica Sente Goldston. And that's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can also find a Q&A on this issue there, which is great. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.